God knows us quite well, I must say. Everything about you and everything about me. So does Jesus. So does the Spirit of God we call the Holy Spirit. In fact, this all-knowing God knows us to the deepest secrets of our hearts and minds. On that point, most of us rarely doubt. We don't argue about that. Now let's turn the table around and ask a simple question. How much do we know God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit? Well, many of us will say, well, I'm not sure that I know Jesus well. By the way, how critical is it for you and me to know Jesus? And let me tell you, according to my study of the scripture, it's a matter of eternal life and death. Everything your salvation hinges upon the knowledge of Jesus. That's how critical it is for us to know him. One day Jesus was having a debate with the religious leaders back then. The scripture calls them Pharisees. Those are the group of people who spend every single hour of the day for studying and researching and searching and, you know, praying and teaching God's people the Torah, the law of God. So they were debating, and this is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Think of his sentence one more time. You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. The way I understand is knowing Jesus is the necessary step we call prerequisite, right? For knowing God. In other words, we know God through Jesus. If we know Jesus, then we would know God the Father. If we don't know Jesus, then we don't know God either. In Jeremiah chapter 4:22, in the Old Testament, God calls Israel, his people, fools. I'm using the right word from the scripture. Why? Because God says, you don't know me. If we don't know God, we are fools in the sight of God. We are pathetic without the knowledge of God. And in fact, in another scripture in Hosea, God says, God's people will perish if they do not have the knowledge of God. So based upon all this information, may I say, therefore, the people of God, you and me, must know God and we must know Jesus and we must know the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And that's why I designated this year, 2015, to be the year of knowing Jesus. T-Y-O-K-J. And it's printed every Sunday on the cover. And most of us miss that. But it's the year of knowing Jesus. You see, when you and I were not a Christian believer in Christ, we were outside the salvation. Back then, in those days, God would overlook our ignorance or indifference to the knowledge of Jesus. Now we are in Jesus, and now we have salvation in Jesus through him, and we are called to follow Jesus, and we are called to know him. Therefore, you and I have no excuses now not to know him. In fact, it is God's will for all of us to know Jesus and his will so that we may keep his commandments. Moreover, the knowledge of Jesus will keep us from being deceived, of falling into deceptions with the wrong image of Jesus. There are plenty out there, wrong image and misunderstanding of Jesus. Have you noticed that almost every Christmas time or around Easter time in secular, major secular magazines or news media, they always says, oh, with the picture of Jesus, who's Jesus? How many of you noticed that? Almost every single year. And they always come up with the conclusion that, well, was he really a historical figure? Was he a myth? And all these things. I would say those are the mispresentation of Jesus our Lord. In the 1980s, in the theological circle, there's one popular theology that swept through the South America. You know what that is? Jesus as the liberator, political liberator and revolutionary, carrying the carbon, you know, the gun on his shoulder to liberate who? The poor from the oppression of the rich. Liberation theology. You know, swept through Latin America 30 years ago. Here is another wrong image of Jesus as spiritual guru. He's so smart, and you go to him and ask, Jesus, give me the answer, and all these things. He tells you with no charge, you know, spiritual guru. Or another wrong image of Jesus as Father Christmas. You only think of Jesus, you know, once or twice a year around Christmas time. He's so kind and say, oh, come on, child, patting on your back. Now, if you agree with me so far that we must know Jesus for our salvation, then we are ready for our next step, next question. How can we know Jesus? And that's what I'm going to spend all the time of my sermon this morning. I'm going to present three ways, not that they are the only ways, three major ways through which we can know Jesus. By faithfully following these three steps, we will know Jesus and we will avoid deceptions in our journey to heaven. So what is the first way? First way is we know Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Some folks out there in the world attempt to know Jesus through the wisdom of the world, such as historical records and literature and whatnot. Yet, no matter how hard they try in human wisdom and knowledge, the scripture says, they will never find the true Jesus. They may pick up, you know, piece here and piece there and partial image of Christ, but never gain the whole true image of Jesus. I tried once. In my college days, I took a course called Comparative Religion. The instructor had the students study several religions of the world, beginning with Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, Taoism, and Islam, and even Shamanism, to name a few. And then he asked the students to choose the truth among them. At best, I was distracted from the truth. At worst, I failed to discover the true image of Jesus that way. Instead of helping me, the course threw me off and, in fact, into further confusion. God declares 2,000 years ago in the scripture, there is only one way for us to find the true image of Jesus. That is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 1:17 says this, "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him." So what we need? Spirit of wisdom and of revelation. So who is He? The Bible says that that Spirit is the Holy Spirit. That Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And by the way, Jesus Himself is the truth, John 14:6 says. So Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Jesus the truth to you and me and to glorify Jesus. His main responsibility is to teach God's children like you and me everything about Jesus. Now think this way. You want to just excel in your subject, let's say physics or math, okay? Let's take a math. And what you need to do first thing is that you need to find a good math teacher. Likewise, if you want to know Jesus, first and foremost you need to do is to find the Holy Spirit, the teacher. Now many of us would say, Pastor Choi, well, I'm not really familiar with the Holy Spirit. I heard your sermon a couple of times, but where do I start? And let me tell you, here's what you need to do. Number one, you need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. It's not just any Spirit, it's the Spirit of God who dwells in you. His address is you. Pastor Chua, I don't feel him. Where is he exactly? You say that the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Where is he? Now, let me put this way for your information. Now, we all know that our human body consists of three things. You know, any individual, the body, flesh, and the soul, we call mind, here, and heart. Okay? Will and, you know, emotion and intellect. Okay? And third part, we call spirit. Now, what happens if a person dies? What happens? Body remains here, and so does our soul. You know, all the intellect and emotion in our brain stays with us. So what happens to the spirit? Well, spirit goes to in front of God, right? Now, you go through the most sophisticated x-ray machine in the world. Can you find where spirit is? Where your own spirit is? I said, I don't know. The x-ray machine wouldn't show either. But are you sure you have the Holy Spirit? Yes, I am. Now, how do I know the Holy Spirit is in you and in me? Because the Bible says so. Direct quote is that the Holy Spirit is in your heart, the deepest seat of your being. So even though you cannot x-ray him, the reason why we say so is because the Bible says so. Anyway, first you need to recognize the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit who dwells in you. And second, you must acknowledge his role as teacher by saying, Holy Spirit, you are my teacher. I need you. Please reveal to me the true Jesus in the ways that I would understand. So far, so good. And then, third step is to simply, you begin to listen to his voice. The voice of the Holy Spirit. Hear his voice. Now, sometimes we get confused with other voices in us that seem to be the voice of the Holy Spirit or pretend to be the Holy Spirit, right? Several years ago, I was going through reading some, you know, just catalog published by New Age Movement. They offer tons of seminars, okay? Now, one of the seminars entitled Holy Spirit got my attention. Wow, I didn't know they promote the Holy Spirit in New Age seminars. So I was reading the introductory, you know, the statement there, and it says, the small voice in you is the Holy Spirit. I said, wait a minute. They hijacked the Holy Spirit, the phrase from the Christianity, okay, and using it. And furthermore, they said, the small voice in you is the Holy Spirit. It's misrepresentation of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the whole small voice in you could be your own conscience. Or could be, you know, like some other voice. If you read John 13:2, you will see, you know, how the Judas Iscariot who betrayed his own master Jesus, how did he begin to think about? He thought that it was his own thought that betrayed Jesus, his master. But if you read John 13:2, it was not. It was the devil who prompted the thought of betrayal. Prompted, literal meaning is that thrown into his heart, the thought of betrayal in Judas' heart. The small voice could be devil's voice too. So, anyway, remember this. God commands us, you and me, not to believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. You should do exactly the same thing every time. Our responsibility is to test every voice in us and every voice you hear and accept only the true voice of the Holy Spirit and reject all others. Now, at first you may not be able to distinguish the Holy Spirit's voice from other voices because you are not experienced. But as you practice every day and you will become familiar with the ways the Holy Spirit leads you, and the more you practice it, the better you get, and eventually you will be able to clearly distinguish the true ways of the Holy Spirit from others. Now, I'm going to just offer you one more clue. How do you tell the Holy Spirit from other voices? Listen very carefully. The bottom line is this. The Holy Spirit never, ever contradicts Jesus or the Scripture. John 16:14 says this. Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me, for he will take up mine and will disclose it to you. Imagine this, you know, here's the Pastor John and I'm here standing to him and, you know, I'm trying to glorify, honor him. And Pastor John says something. I said, no, Pastor John, that's not what is, you know, this is true. And he says something else and I said, no, that's not true. If I contradict every statement Pastor John makes, would I glorify him? No. Jesus says the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify me, taking my stuff and disclose it to you. In other words, you must test the Spirit's voice, Holy Spirit's voice, against Jesus and the Scripture. If they both agree, then it is the Holy Spirit. If not, then it is not from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. In my salad days of ministry, 1990s, I was in Michigan at the time, and I spent 2 hours in the afternoon, you know, with one of the shut-ins. Her name was Bertha, dear lady to me. Anyway, on my way home, after spending 2 hours, the problem she had is that she had, you know, hard hearing. And the problem is that she didn't have hearing aids. So you could imagine, during the 2 hour visit, she kept telling me, what did you say, in a very friendly manner, with a smile. She was embarrassed, you know, to ask that question several times. So after spending 2 hours with her that way, on my way home, driving all by myself in my car, I was thinking to myself, I was in my 30s, you know, back then, and I was an ambitious preacher, ready to convert the entire world. And, you know, I talked to myself, what am I doing here in this small corner of Michigan? Am I wasting my time? In that very moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to me in my thoughts. Geun Cho, you think you saw Bertha today, but let me tell you, you saw me today, Jesus. You thought, that's how do I know? And Holy Spirit prompted me and reminded me of, in Matthew chapter 25, 2 verses, this is what Jesus says, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So my thoughts was confirmed and backed up by the Scripture. That's why I know it was from the Holy Spirit. Now here's another case, the opposite. True story again, there was one Christian lady who dearly loved her pastor. In fact, she fell in love with her pastor. The problem is the pastor was a married man. Somehow she thought the Holy Spirit spoke to her to become her pastor's wife. So one day, she discovered that the pastor's wife was away in a different town, and the pastor was out doing the church work. Somehow she snuck into the house. Oh, it's getting juicier, folks. She got herself naked, jumped into the pastor's bed. I'll stop right there. So you and I both know, oh, come on. Her conviction, she was so sure that I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. But you and I both know it was not. After all, remember what I said, Holy Spirit never contradicts God's word. In this case, one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not, what? Commit adultery. So she should have checked with the Scripture. That's the first way, to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful experience, folks. Don't be afraid to, Lord, I really never tried this one, but help me to experiment in the ways that I would understand. You may make mistakes, fewer things, and so on, but you have the clue. Is this the voice of the Holy Spirit? And let me check what the Bible says, okay? Now, the second way to know Jesus is, of course, the Bible. Now, some believers out there, not me, are privileged to know Jesus through special revelations, such as dreams and visions and even visitations from angels. Someone says, oh, you know, I saw Jesus in my dream. I said, oh, that's so great. I wish I could, you know, have that experience too. However, most of us, myself included, do not have such great experiences. Although Those are very special ways to know Jesus. Let me tell you, we don't have to envy them because they are not the primary means to get to know Jesus. So what is the primary means, you may ask? And that the answer is the scripture, the word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. God uses the Bible to teach us of Jesus. Let me share with you, this past year, 6 months, just as the pastor, I designated the year of the knowing Jesus, I practiced myself. Lord, I need to tell me and teach me the things that I need to know and learn about you. And this is what Jesus taught me about himself through the daily Bible reading. I got to read Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus says, you know, not everyone who calls me Lord and Lord will get into the kingdom of heaven, but only those who not only hear my words, but keep them. So Jesus told me, you could confess that you love me and you call me Lord, but what I really want to see is you do as I say. Okay? The second thing he taught me is John 14:21. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he or she will keep my commandments. And Jesus says, do you love me? And do what I say. And all of these confirmed, and Jesus taught me through the scriptures. You know what the Bible is? If someone asks, what is the Bible? How would you answer it? Oh, Bible is God's word and so on. My answer is, the Bible is a book about Jesus from generation, you know, Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Genesis, you know, Revelation 22. So without getting into God's word, we will never be able to fully understand who Jesus is. It's like let's say you're studying to become a medical doctor, ignoring all the medical textbooks. And you still believe that I want to be a good doctor. I say, no, it's not going to happen. And if we ignore the Bible, and we'll be very susceptible to the deceptions too. And that's why it is so crucial for us to get into God's Word daily. If you remember 2 years ago, I challenged the congregation to read the entire Bible in a year. And for those who I did, I promised that I would record their names in my notebook called The Book Club. The book means, you know, God's Word. So far, 5 people told me that they completed their challenge. And I'm very proud of them. And I'm still waiting. Not that number is important. I'm still waiting for 7 more people, folks. So that when I have 12 folks, I'd like to celebrate in some ways. I'm still debating what's the best way. Their great achievement of reading through God's Word in a year. If you'd like to take up this challenge on your way out, we have daily Bible reading plan. You could finish, if you follow this schedule, in a year. And you tell me, and I'll, with pride, write down your name in my book. True story, there was a man who died and went to heaven. And Jesus sent him back, okay? So what do you call that experience? Near-death experience, right? And he wrote the book, actually. So when he was in heaven, he asked Jesus so many questions, lots of questions. And you know, after hearing all these questions, Jesus said to him one sentence. You know what that is? My child, have you read my book? Folks, we have no excuses not to get into God's word. We say it is too difficult to understand, really. Think of this. Someone sent you a love letter. Let's say it's way back 30, 40 years ago, your fiancé or your wife or your husband sent you a love letter. And the problem is that it is written in foreign language, let's say in French. Would you say, oh, I cannot understand in French, therefore you make every effort to understand what your love letter says. It is too difficult for to understand, doesn't cut it. What about I have no time to read? Well, think of yourself, how much time you spend just watching TV or surfing on the internet. You know, God may be merciful to those who do not have Bibles with them or not allowed to have them, such as Christians in North Korea or in the Muslim countries. However, here in America, I bet God will hold us accountable with His word and saying, have you read my book? What have you done? Lastly, we learn of Jesus through prayers, of course. Prayer is an ancient way, thousands of years proven true, of God's revealing himself to us. And Jesus still uses it, and God's people still need it. Let's say we don't pray, okay? Let's say if we don't pray, we do two things. First of all, we deprive Jesus of the opportunities of revealing himself to us. And second, we also deprive ourselves of the opportunities of knowing Jesus personally. Many believers get to know Jesus through prayer. Show me a prayer warrior, and I'll show you the one who knows Jesus. My own experience this year, again, in the context of getting to know Jesus, the Lord told me, when I was on my knees, those two things, the following two things. First of all, he says, would you love me? Not because of the blessings that I give you, but for the sake of relationship. That's what the first thing the Lord taught me. Second thing he reminded me, would you love me more than you love your own wife? Those two things came to me during my prayer time. As for closing, this is what I'll say. If you just look at today's text printed in your bulletin, Jesus said in verse 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, meaning his own sheep, his own flock, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Pay attention to verse 14. My own know me. The Greek sentence for my known, o me, is actually passive sentence, not active sentence. So the literal translation would be, I am known by my own. Whenever I see such passive sentence, it tells me that initiative and responsibility to know Jesus lies with us. We have homework to do, folks. That part, Jesus will not do it for us. That part, he won't do it for us. Hosea the prophet in the Old Testament says, so let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. We still have 6 months ahead of us this year, 2015. I'm not saying the end of December 31st, we stop, learning of Jesus, no. But we still have some goal to do. So half of the year, this year, let us know Jesus by asking God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, to reveal and teach us of Jesus every day. Let us press on to know Jesus by getting into God's Word every day, and let us follow our Good Shepherd in prayer every day. Let's bow our heads and pray.